The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next hour, half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June-July issue of Scout Life. We're going to begin on page 38. Pee-wee Harris looks at pioneering. Hi, Pee-wee. Your mom said you were working hard to prepare for our next campout. Hey, Sam. Yeah, trying to get a jump on it. What you building? It looks really, interesting. Ah, only a pioneering marvel, Sam. I give you the world's first camp-ready rotating salad bar. Gone are the days of having to walk to the salad fixins. With my invention, the fixins come to you. It's also rock solid. This thing isn't going anywhere. I believe that. What do you mean? Well, it's going to be kind of a challenge getting it out of your basement. Oh, I guess you're right about a little salad. How about it? Now, the wacky adventures of Pedro. One last thing before we head to bed. Let's get our food hoisted up nice and high so no animals can get it. We sure had a lot of tumbleweed tacos left over. Oh, I'm so hungry. Me too. Good thing we brought some snacks. Okay, gang, well, once those flashlights are out, we move in. Remember to keep it quiet. Ringo, you're in charge of the backpacks. Buster, you get latrine duty. Oh, seriously? I had to do it last time. Amos and I will handle the bear bag. Later that night. There's nothing here but granola bar wrappers. Easy does it. I've almost got it. One more loop. There. Start passing up the loot. What are you waiting for? There's nothing in here but weeds, boss. Did any of you guys get anything? Nothing. They even filled up all their cat holes. Nothing but wrappers. Loads of them. These kids must like granola bars. I don't get it. Well, why would anyone fill their beer bags with weeds? Let that be a lesson to you guys. In order to avoid those bandits of the night, always hang your food. Now, who wants an alfalfa breakfast burrito? A true story of scouts in action. Gabriel Vivani, age 17, was returning to his home in Mansfield, Texas, when he saw a fire in the garage of a neighbor's house. Gabriel alerted his parents and called 911 as he ran to the garage. He knew someone could be inside the home. Gabriel pounded on the door. When no one answered, he ran into the burning, smoke-filled garage. Gabriel entered the house through the garage's utility door and yelled that there was a fire, waking an 11-year-old boy who was asleep on the couch. Gabriel helped the startled boy leave the home. Gabriel's parents met them on the front lawn, and everyone quickly crossed the street to safety. By the time the boy's parents and the fire department arrived, the fire had spread through most of the house. Gabriel gave the details of the incident to the police, and the boy's parents thanked him for saving their son. First-class scout Gabriel Vivani, a member of Troop 127, chartered to St. Joseph Catholic Community in Arlington, Texas, received an honor medal for his actions. Scouts in Action subjects come from the National Boy Scouts of America Court of Honor. If you know of an act of heroism that should be recognized, contact your local BSA Council office for a life-saving or meritorious award application. Note, consult approved safety guidelines as actions depicted here may not precisely follow standard procedures. Now we have more Scouts in Action, more true stories of Scouts in Action. he saved his mom from the raging river. Richard Fisher, age 14, was kayaking with his family on Pennsylvania's Schuylkill River when his mom hit a rock and capsized in the fast-moving water. As she struggled to get out of the river, her leg became wedged between two rocks. Richard's dad tried to walk upriver to help, but couldn't make headway against the strong current. Richard paddled to shore and directed his two sisters to stay put, then ran along the river bank to get closer to his mom. Richard waded out to his mom, freed her from the rocks, and helped her to shore. Richard got his mom downriver where his sisters were waiting. He then helped his exhausted father exit the water. Richard's mom was shaken and suffered some extreme bruising, but was otherwise okay. Life Scout Richard D. Fisher III, a member of Troop 183, chartered to Maiden Creek Church in Blandon, Pennsylvania, received a heroism award for his actions. And finally, she helped her mom after a serious injury. Libby Weinich, 8, was playing at home with her cousin when her mom suffered a serious injury in the kitchen. A heavy glass tray had slipped off a shelf, slamming into her mother's head. Libby's mom sustained a deep head wound and a serious injury to her neck from the broken glass. As her mom cried out for help, Libby rushed into the kitchen, called out to alert her father, and then dialed 911. Libby applied pressure to her mom's cuts to slow the bleeding until her dad got there to help. An ambulance took Libby's mom to the hospital, where she later made a full recovery from her wounds and concussion. Bear Scout Cub Libby Weinich, a member of PAC 2, chartered to American Legion Post 353 in Cornell, Wisconsin, received a Medal of Merit for her actions. How to make a board game. Take family game night to the next level of fun. What you'll need: poster board, cardboard or cardstock, game tokens such as small toys, blank note cards or construction paper, dice, pencil, markers, crayons, paint and stickers, paper, ruler. What you'll do. Step 1. Create an outline of your board game on a sheet of paper. This includes the title of your game, instructions, rules, the number of players, and any storyline you want your game to have. Step 2. On a sheet of paper, sketch out what you want your board game to look like. This will be your go-by guide. Get creative. Step 3. Create your board game. Place the poster board, cardboard, or cardstock on a flat, hard surface such as a table or smooth, uncarpeted floor. Using the ruler pencil and your sketch from step 2, design your game. Ask a parent or older sibling for help with this step if needed. Make your board colorful using markers, crayons, and stickers. If using paint, cover your work area with newspaper to prevent making a mess. Step 4. Make the pull cards by cutting blank note cards in half. You can also make the cards with construction paper. Fold the paper into fours and cut out each rectangle. Create as many pull cards as you want. Next, fill in the cards with simple instructions. For example, they can require the player to go back to start, move forward or back a few spaces, or switch places with another player. Step 5. Gather the game tokens and dice. You can use the token from an old board game, buy new pieces, or use items around your house. Examples of some tokens are toy cars, points, miniature toy people, and math counters. Step 6. Finally, it's time to play. Round up enough family and friends to meet the required number of players. Then grab the dice and roll. Now, if you thought this project was fun, check out the Game Design Merit Badge. Do-it-yourself fitness equipment. Working out doesn't mean you have to spend money on expensive gear or a gym membership. Here are a couple of easy-to-make affordable pieces of equipment. Hand weights. Fill half-gallon or gallon milk jug with water, sand, or gravel. The stronger you get, the more you can put in the jugs. Resistance bands. Stretch an old bicycle inner tube or bungee cord to work different muscle sets. Learn more at go.scoutlife.org/fitness-first. Religious emblems. Zoroastrian scouts can learn more about their faith by earning the following BSA award. The Good Life emblem is for older scouts and venturers. There is no emblem for Cub Scouts. An aspiring young Zoroastrian will have to complete religious education and community-oriented projects. The purpose of this program is threefold: to make Zoroastrian youth more aware of their faith, its outlook, and its achievements, to encourage them to achieve meaningful spiritual experience in living their faith, and to instill the practice of the religion of the prophet Zarathustra. To encourage Zoroastrian scouts to enthusiastically participate in a community-oriented project, thereby practicing the salient principles of the Zoroastrian faith, such as happiness unto him who makes others happy. For more information, contact your local council or visit go.scoutlife.org/religious-awards. What's up on scoutlife.org? Bug eyes. Take our quiz at go.scoutlife.org/insect-quiz to find out how much you know about dangerous bugs. Mascot madness. Olympic mascots have been wild, funny, awesome, and cute. See them all and pick your favorites at goscott.org/Olympic mascots. Meme King. Drop us an Instagram message with your best memes. If they follow the Scout Law, you could be our next meme royalty. Captions that made us. Guys, stop playing with your food. Submitted by Happy Day. Not fair. Why does he think he's so fantastic? Rockstar. Technically, I'm not cheating. These are my legs. The real player. Goal. Dave Master of Cool. After the game, don't forget to thank the dung beetles for the ball. That's it, Cap Boy. I just can't score on this guy. Boy's Life, number 9. Man, one of us is going to get squished. The foot. Leave it to me to get a goal. Buckabong. What? Ants aren't all hard workers? J-Dog. He takes a shot and he eats the ball. 1, 2, 3. Write your caption at go.scoutlife.org/funny-captions. Dad joke. This time the joke is on him. Find Father's Day jokes at go.scoutlife.org/dad jokes. Off the Hook. Part 1 of an exclusive summer camp story by the author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Jaden was heading to camp, but all he could think about was his cousin Elijah. A few hours earlier, the two boys had been in Jaden's room, and Jaden was stressed for two reasons. For one, Jaden hadn't finished packing, and his dad was already waiting out in the car. For two, Jaden's older cousin Elijah was on Jaden's bed, taking off his socks. "Yo, what are you doing?" Jaden said angrily. Jaden picked Elijah's sock off the floor, then dropped it when he realized it was wet with sweat. "Making myself at home," said Elijah, while tossing his other balled-up sock into Jaden's hamper with perfect free-throw form. "'Cause that's where I'm at." Jaden glared at Elijah as his cousin made a big show of wriggling under Jaden's sheets and flopping onto his pillow, hands behind his head. This was not good. Jaden was heading off to his first ever scout camp, and that was stressful enough. But in the middle of packing, he found out Aunt Eliana was going to be staying at his house while he was gone, and she brought Elijah with her. The thought of Elijah sleeping in his bed while Jaden was in a sleeping bag on the cold, hard ground made him mad. Maybe it would be better to stay home, so he... Honk! It was Jaden's dad in the driveway. He didn't like to be kept waiting. Jaden realized that whatever the sleeping situation was at camp, it had to be better than sharing his room with Elijah. He kept packing. "You better not touch any of my stuff while I'm gone," Jaden said, cramming handfuls of underwear in his already overstuffed duffel bag. He really stunk at this packing thing. But Elijah wasn't paying attention. He was reading aloud from a book. "A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient," Elijah said in a nasally obnoxious voice. "Give it," shouted Jaden, snatching his scout handbook from Elijah's hands. "Dude, that's so corny. You don't actually believe in that stuff, do you?" Elijah said, his eyes dancing with glee. Jaden's ears burned red as he struggled to zip his duffel shut. Sometimes he really hated having an older cousin. "No, I guess I don't," Jaden said, slinging the bag over his shoulder. Jaden knew the rest of the scout law by heart because he had to memorize it when he got into Troop 133. Cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, reverent. Okay, maybe it did sound a little corny. "They're just trying to control you, to get you to behave," Elijah said as he twisted his pinky into his ear canal. "Just remember this, cousin. In the real world, you gotta look out for yourself." Elijah's words were ringing in Jaden's ears as he and his father made their way down the dusty road to the place he'd call home for the next week, Camp Massamet. Boys were hurrying this way and that, pitching tent and unpacking gear under a canopy of tall pine trees. They looked like they knew what they were doing, and most of them looked a lot older than Jaden. "You got this?" his dad said. "Yeah, I got it, Dad." "Yeah," said Jaden, not so sure, but he took a deep breath and got out of the car and then grabbed his duffel out of the trunk. As he watched his dad drive away, a familiar voice rang out behind him. "Jaden!" He spun around to see Farhan, a boy he'd met at his first scout meeting, ambling toward him, struggling with his own overstuffed bag. Jaden instantly felt a little better about things. "I brought peanut butter-filled pretzels," Farhan said, pulling a clear plastic bag full of pretzel bites from his bag and holding them high like a trophy. But the Ziploc wasn't closed fully, and pretzels poured from the opening onto the dusty ground. "Don't worry, I've got extras," Farhan said with a wide grin, patting his bag. Being away from home. For the first time, it was hard for Jaden. Sharing a tent with Farhan, who snored, took some getting used to. So did using an outdoor shower and waking up at the crack of dawn. On top of that, Jaden was assigned to the same patrol as a kid they called Big Quinn, who always seemed to be in a bad mood, especially in the morning. But the good stuff outweighed the bad. Swimming in the lake was a ton of fun, so was learning to kayak, and Jaden loved cooking meals on an open fire. Plus s'mores, so many s'mores. By the third day, Jaden felt like he'd gotten the hang of camp life. He knew how to start a fire with a flint. He could hold his breath long enough to use the latrine. He could bait a hook, and he'd even caught a few fish. The high schoolers in his patrol were better at just about everything, especially fishing. They knew all the best fishing spots on the lake, and they kept their secret from the kids Jaden's age. But that was okay. He knew he'd find his own secret spots eventually. On the fourth night, some of the older guys came back from the lake, whooping it up. Big Quinn was at the center of the pack, holding something shimmering above his head. It was a fish, the biggest Jaden had ever seen. Big Quinn was grinning from ear to ear, and Jaden realized it was the first time he'd seen him crack a smile. Everyone gathered around the picnic table as Big Quinn gently set down his prize. Everyone else in the troop would be eating pork and beans tonight, but Jaden knew his patrol would be feasting on Big Quinn's catch. Things were buzzing that night. A cool breeze came off the lake. Someone had the radio cranked up loud, and kids were tossing a frisbee between the trees. Jaden and Farhan were setting the table. They were excited to have a bite of Big Quinn's fish, which was sitting in a tray on the picnic table, freshly filleted and covered in foil. Farhan lifted a corner to take a peek. "Dude," said Jaden, "you let the flies in." "When do you think you'll cook it?" said Farhan, licking his lips. "After the other stuff's ready. He wants everything to be perfect," said Jaden. Farhan strutted off to get the plastic utensils. Jane sent out the paper cups at even intervals around the table. Jane didn't feel like walking all the way around the table to set out the last few cups, so he stretched his body across the table to put the cups in place. When he pulled his arm back, his elbow bumped the tray holding Big Quinn's fish, knocking it off the table. As the tray started to fall, Jane snagged it out of the air, and he breathed a heavy sigh of relief. But then came a moment that felt like it was happening in slow motion. The fish slipped out between the foil and the tray. Jane watched in horror as it tumbled once, tumbled twice, and fell with a splat onto the dusty ground. Jane's eyes darted from the dirt cake fish to Big Quinn, who was firing up the grill 10 yards away. Then he looked at Farnham and the other guys who were getting things ready at the prep table. Nobody had noticed. Jane panicked. He kicked the fish under the table and covered it up with dirt and pine needles. Then Jane set the tray back on the table, the foil still in the shape of a fish that wasn't there. "Hey," Farnham said, startling Jane from behind. "Just one more peek at that fish." Jane swatted Farnham's hand. "Cut it out," he said, gesturing to Big Quinn, who was headed their way. Big Quinn approached the table, taking big, clomping strides toward them. Had he seen what happened? Big Quinn picked up the tray with two meaty hands. "You know, you guys don't deserve this," he said to the younger boys. "We know," Farnham said cheerily. Jane gulped. Big Quinn made it halfway to the grill before he noticed the tray seemed a little light. He peeled back the foil. "Hey!" he shouted. "Where's my fish?" Big Quinn turned to face Farnham and Jaden. He wasn't smiling anymore. What happens next? See the August issue for the conclusion of Off the Hook. Fish close to home in national tournament. More than 170 youth across the country, most of whom are scouts, dropped their line in their favorite fishing spots last fall for a friendly nationwide contest. A small team of venturers and Sea Scouts planned the two-week event called Croft, C-R-O-F-T, meaning Central Region Open Fishing Tournament, and invited scouts and non-scouts ages 5 to 20 to catch bass and catfish. They could fish wherever they wanted and submit photos of their catch. The largest bass caught was 22 inches long, and the largest catfish was 35 inches. Winners of each bracket received a medallion featuring the Sea Scouts logo with the trident. The fishing tournament will return September 4th through 19th. This year, there will be contests for bass, catfish, and trout. The award ceremony will be streamed on YouTube. Official rules and scorecards will be available at go.scoutlife.org/croft. Need some fishing tips? Check out our gear, knots, techniques, and more at fishing.scoutlife.org. Honoring Old Glory. The American flag is a symbol representing our country's past, present, and future. It should remind us of our freedoms and those of who have sacrificed to defend those freedoms. As scouts, we respect the flag, and that means following flag etiquette. Salute the flag when you see it being hoisted or lowered. Fly it appropriately and store it so it won't get damaged or dirty. You shouldn't let the flag touch anything below it, including the ground. However, if it touches the ground, it doesn't mean the flag should be retired. You can clean it. As long as it's still suitable for display, the flag can fly. The flag shouldn't be tattered, torn, or discolored. If the flag is beyond repair, it's time to retire it. Do so in a dignified way, preferably by burning. For nylon or synthetic flags, it can be appropriate to bury or recycle the flag. Now to page 47, Think and Grin. How come there's no knock-knock joke about America? John, no idea. Ben, because freedom rings. That from Benji in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That was Pedro's pick. Alina, what did the alpaca say when he was kicked off the farm? Tia, I'm stumped. Alina, alpaca my bags. That's from Alina in Round Rock, Texas. Dylan, why do bees have sticky hair? Casey, why? Dylan, because they use honeycombs. That's from Dylan L. in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Cameron, how did the butcher introduce his wife? Greg, I don't know. How? Cameron, meet Patty. That's from Cameron L. in Williams, Oregon. Tom Swifty, that's the last time I pet a lion, Tom said offhandedly. That's from Kyle in League City, Texas. Aiden, guess what? Aaron, what? Aiden, I'm going to a car show next week. Aaron, okay. But it will be exhausting. That's from Aiden M. in Visalia, California. A Book Never Written, Uncertainty by Will C. That's from Tom L. in London, Ohio. Devam, what animal doesn't deserve straight A's in school? Sean, I don't know. Devam, a cheetah. That's from Devin B. in Eastvale, California. Daffy Nishin, debate, what goes on at the hook to catch fish? What goes on the hook to catch fish? That's from Drake L. in Charlotte, North Carolina. Monroe, what did the trailer and the truck do after they fell in love? Amanda, what? Monroe, they got hitched. Alex, why did everyone want Thor's brother to come to a hangout? Tom, I'm not sure. Because he was Loki. That's from Alex L. in Syracuse, New York. Carson, last night I had a dream. Phil, what happened? Carson, I dreamed I was swimming in a pool of orange soda, but it was just a fantasy. Remember the soda, Fanta? Think and grin. Phew. Luke, what did the teacher say to the light bulb? Corey, tell me. You have a bright future. That's from Luke T. in Mountain Brook, Alabama. London, what sound does a dog make when it hits a tree? Sarah, tell me. London, bark! That's from London C. in Shelby, North Carolina. Zachary, what did the horse say when she fell? James, what? Zachary, help. I can't giddy up. That's from Zachary I. in Portland, Oregon. Gavin, what do you get when you mix a pig and a dinosaur? Victoria, I have no idea. Gavin, Jurassic Park. Jurassic Pork. And finally, Walking to School by Misty Buss. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.